WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's a Thursday night.
We're live on the internet. It's The Rack. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, and work on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live, because we have things to talk about, because wrestling news never, ever stops.
You know, some weeks are quiet, some weeks aren't. This week was not quiet at all.
I mean, it was.
There were moves made.
It was, and then until it wasn't. We were low on news until a story dropped.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It sure did. Announcements were made, y'all. So let's get into it. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. We're going to lead off with WWE and AAA Worlds Collide. It's going to take place on September 12th at 10 p.m. Eastern in Vegas from the Pavilion at the Thomas and Mack Center.
So they'll be live after SmackDown. I have no idea where SmackDown is that night. I don't think they're in Las Vegas. But that will feature Dominic.
You know what would be convenient?
Go ahead.
If it was.
It would.
Convenient if it was.
But I don't think it is. But that'll feature Dominic Mysterio challenging for the AAA Mega Championship on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I guess it's Worlds Collide 2. If it's not, I don't think it's numbered. I don't know. They'll stream on YouTube because that's kind of where they're streaming all the AAA stuff until they make some sort of carrier deal for that programming, which you never know where that could go. But YouTube is a great place. easy access for people, then they could probably get some sort of streaming contract with the Googles for YouTube to provide content, because who knows where things are headed as the future just continues to unfold for WWE content. But yeah, he'll be live after SmackDown. This is where he's looking. So we're still on the topic. WWE.com. Just to kind of see.
Live Googling.
We got a ticket. September 12th. They're in Norfolk, Virginia for SmackDown. So they couldn't be any further apart here in the States when you really boil it down. So, yeah. Tickets on sale soon for Worlds Collide. Go get them.
Ding. And talking about WWE PLEs, they are moving to the ESPN DTC, starting with WrestlePalooza on September 20th in Indianapolis. WWE and Peacock have worked out a deal to include new main roster programming to stream on NBC Universal's digital platform. Details of that programming are expected to be announced soon. Peacock and WWE, part of TKO Group Holdings, I can read, announced a multi-year partnership agreement to exclusively stream the iconic Saturday Night's Main Event series live on Peacock, so they get to keep that. Saturday Night's Main Event will stream in prime time exclusively on Peacock four times each year, featuring WWE's top superstars, rivalries, championship matches, and more. Peacock will exclusively stream two nights of Saturday Night's Main Events this year, with the first taking place on November 1st, and additionally, the second one will be on December 13th, and it will feature John Cena in his retirement match.
So, before you get to the last part, so that clears up against going up against World's End. They are not, as of now, John Cena's not going up against it. Could WWE still put a programming on there? Yes. Could it be an NXT show? Yes. But it's not going to be John Cena's last match. John Cena will get his last match on at a Saturday Night's Main Event, which was always the plan until people thought, oh, maybe they're going to program against AEW's World's End. They are not.
No. They want all eyeballs on that, so they're going to make sure there's as little competition as possible for that. And just to answer the pesky question we were talking about last week, because last week WWE did announce the ESPN deal. The question was the library. What happens to the network library? And the answer is that for right now, it will remain available on Peacock through the end of 2025. And NXT PLEs will be available on Peacock until March 2026. After that, the future is entirely up in the air and nobody knows what's going to happen to it. But at least for right now, we know that Peacock is going to keep some of the content, and they might work a deal out for it to stay there through 2026. Especially since Peacock is getting to keep Saturday Night's Main Event.
So NBC no longer has it. It's now on Peacock. So it's a streaming only event. There was some confliction. There's an NFL game, I think, around when World 10 was going to be on. So they couldn't stream WWE on Peacock. So that's why it's still on the 13th, something to that nature. What have you. Few things that come out of this. One, this was also supposed to start in April with WrestleMania, which would have given Xfinity time to make a deal so people might, like me and Lindsay, could get ESPN's new service, the direct-to-consumer service, as a part of our cable package. So Xfinity,
I mean, that would have been nice.
Get on it. You have 1 month. And I think
otherwise, we might have to stop covering pay-per-views for a while.
We'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way. But WWE and or ESPN and Xfinity, get on it. I've looked on some threads. There are people talking about it. It's like, yeah, people want it. They want to see the ESPN direct-to-consumer service. So work on it, Xfinity. That's the first part. So that got moved up because WWE apparently negotiated their way out of their deal with Peacock, because apparently they have finished up delivering all the premium live events that they were scheduled to deliver for the service this year, based on adding an extra night of WrestleMania and an extra night of SummerSlam and Evolution and whatever other content they had been providing. I think they were supposed to do 10 or 11, whatever it was. They hit the number. So they were able to negotiate their way out and start early with ESPN, who was very anxious to get a hold of their content, especially with the launch of their service. So they were able to work that out. The other interesting thing. So what's John Cena's gimmick? He's going to these places for one last time. That's the deal. He already hit Indianapolis once already on this tour, on this farewell tour.
He did. I guess they get him twice, unless he's just...
No, he is scheduled.
No. Be there.
No. He is there. Because in the press release with the image, it says WWE WrestlePalooza featuring John Cena in the main event.
Well, isn't Indianapolis lucky to be the exception?
So, it's a major main event, or some phrase they used.
Of course, they have to sell it. You can't use a name like WrestlePalooza and then not sell the shit out of it.
Do you know where that came from?
The internet? No,
it was an old ECW show called WrestlePalooza. So it's an old ECW name that they brought back. But yeah, so for all of the more little details, September ESPN comes the exclusive U.S. domestic home for PLEs with starting on September 20th. And also, they'll have Crown Jewel on October 11th and Survivor Series to wrap up the year. WrestlePalooza will feature a blockbuster headline attraction with John Cena, as well as undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes, World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, Intercontinental Champion Becky Lynch, CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre in major matches throughout the night. So they're just going to throw out all the big guns. So I assume it's CM Punk and... So the card for WrestlePalooza this week, can just kind of... Your top three matches are John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre for the WWE title, and CM Punk and Seth Rollins most likely for the World Heavyweight title. I would assume, since they're all in the press release... That's the programs they're running. So I assume, unless Becky versus Nikki gets added to Clash in Paris, that'll be Becky versus Nikki at WrestlePalooza as well. Just to run all the big names for your first ESPN show.
Yeah, which makes sense.
But yeah, it should be an interesting time where things are moving around. You think they do CM Punk? Yeah, what do you mean? It's not like
for a while.
They've already done it this year. Right? It's already been done this year. You go back to it, and because you have, just like because of Netflix debut, you throw out your big match for a debut show. They're doing Punk. Punk's in the four-way, so it's not like they're not touching. That's kind of why I would go with that. Could be wrong, but just looking at the odds and everything that's going on, kind of looks like that's the direction. I would think next time they face one-on-one, though, is when CM Punk wins back the title, but I doubt it's yes, right, and Punk can get screwed in their match by the Vision, and then he can go off and face more of them and then work his way back to Rollins. Things change. Like, if WrestlePalooza wasn't on the books, you'd wait. ESPN launches now, not at WrestleMania, it's on September 20th. You kind of make it a mini WrestleMania.
Yeah, you kind of got to pivot a little bit and do something.
Right, because if you waited, if anything, they would have gone either at Survivor Series or in Australia. And at this point, if you're going to do Australia, that's beginning of October. What's end of September? Nothing. That's not really changed much. But I don't know, they could just see him Punk LA Knight, for all I know. I don't know.
You have options, like, it depends on how they're going to tell the story and where they want to go with it, and honestly what ESPN wants, right? Because I'm sure for the debut show, ESPN will have some say in what they're looking for, very similar to how Netflix has a say in what they want, and USA and everybody else that they work with, where it's like, hey, this is the debut show, we really want to make it a big splash, especially since this is the launch of the DTC. Like, this isn't even just, you know, we're throwing it on regular ESPN. This is the launch of a brand new service for ESPN. So they're going to want to make a splash. They're going to want to make it big and important. And so they're going to want WWE to bring out the very best that they have, much in the same vein of what they did for Netflix when they launched on Netflix. ESPN will expect that level of show, if not more. And so, yeah, to Rock's point, it will likely be a mini WrestleMania, and we will likely see some pretty big matches that would normally be reserved for PLEs on this, because, again, they want to make a splash, they want it to feel important, and they want to keep ESPN happy.
You gotta launch it strong, which, by the way, it launched officially today.
Yeah. And right now, I think what's carrying it is WWE and NFL.
Well, no. They don't have the NFL yet, because that's still, they gotta go through all the FCC regulations and stuff. That's another year.
Yeah. So WWE is the only one carrying this right now, with other minor content, but like in terms of a major name, a major provider for content. Without the NFL, they really only have WWE, so it's vitally important to the success of the app or success of the channel.
They're gonna have college. It's not to knock what that, but they have college football. They have, and in October they have hockey. That's going to be on the app.
Yeah, but WWE I think is going first, right?
College football will be first.
Okay.
Because that kicks off at the beginning of the month.
But still, no, it will be important.
The point stands. It will still be important. It's very important. But I'm just saying they're going to have other. They're NBA. They have baseball. They have a lot of stuff on it. It's not just going to be WWE.
Right, but my point was eventually that will turn up. Right now. Yeah. As sports gets going, right, because we're going into sports season, where you do have baseball right now, but that's going into end of season stuff, and you don't have that overlap yet with like football and then basketball and then hockey and da 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 da. So right now you kind of have like baseball, college football, and WWE. That's it, and other things. So the point is that to talk about the event for WrestlePalooza, that they will break out the big guns for it because it's as important to them as it is to ESPN.
Yeah, you gotta bring out the big guns for this show.
Like I said before, I expect a Netflix level debut for this.
In terms of matches, yeah.
So we very well could get Punk versus Rollins for the title.
Yeah,
and Punk is screwed.
Yeah, since they named all the people, like they named everyone, they have the card. They named the people. They didn't name Brock, but everyone knew Brock's coming because he's booked for the two SmackDowns going forward. So
I mean, he doesn't have to.
You look at it, and despite whatever is going on, ESPN world, Brock Lesnar's huge.
Oh, I know that. I know that, but still.
I know.
He doesn't have to show up.
He doesn't have to.
We were all doing really very fine without him. No offense to Brock. But really, seriously, the product was perfectly fine without him. He didn't need to show up at all.
But here we are.
And that's the thing that kills me not to talk, because we didn't really talk about it, but we kind of talked about it, is like you could have done the whole John Cena retirement tour, and I'm going to reserve this statement and revisit it after Cena retires when we see the full like run, but like in terms of John Cena retiring, I feel like we could have done without Brock. I'm just gonna throw that out there right now, you know, just gonna put that out there. We could have done without Brock. It would have been fine. But anyway, moving on. Let's talk about AEW and their brand new collab, which is actually exciting. But not because I don't really like these people, but okay. So White Castle has launched an All Elite Feast Kit for a limited time, which is very exciting for them. The official details note, this exclusive White Castle All Elite Wrestling All Elite Feast contains a dynamite meal that'll slam your taste buds into submission. Shout out to the copywriter. The All Elite Feast packs everything you need to tag in your appetite and deliver the ultimate crave-worthy experience straight to your ring, no matter where you are. The AEW kit serves 4 to 5 people and includes 10 classic cheese sliders, 10 new bacon and cheese sliders, or cheddar bacon cheese sliders.
Yeah, I was going to say cheddar bacon cheese slider.
Can't forget the cheddar. 1 pouch of pickles, 2 gooey butter cake dessert on a stick. How do you put gooey butter cake on? Okay, I'm gonna have to Google that. 2 strawberry swirl cheesecake desserts on a stick. That makes sense. Slider boxes and VIP coupons good for up to 12 sliders from your local freezer aisle, and 2 pieces of exclusive AEW merchandise to be named later. Or maybe they're like a Happy Meal prize.
Maybe. And all that's available at houseofcrave.com for $65.
I mean, okay, I'm not going to lie. $65 for all of that, that's pretty decent. $65 and it feeds like 4 people? That's pretty good. I have to see this, though. I have to see gooey butter cake on a stick. Because I am familiar with gooey butter cake. I'm familiar with things being on a stick. Oh, God, that looks... Oh.
She's familiar with gooey butter cake on a stick. You could tell by her excitement that is coming out of her voice that she is going out of her way now, right now, to go buy this All Elite Feast.
That looks drier than some people's mamas. Oh, dear.
But you can get yours now at houseofcrave.com and enjoy your All Elite Feast with All Elite Wrestling.
I will say the cheesecake looks really good, though.
But
wait, that's fudge dipped. That's not good.
And because she is the AEW expert, she should go out and try this food just to provide analysis.
Look, if I needed help with a particular physical problem, I would go get some White Castle, all right? But I don't hate myself enough to do that. Okay?
You don't want to go out and review gooey buttery cake dessert on a stick?
I don't even know if there's a White Castle near me. Hold on. Where is there a White Castle? There is no permanent White Castle restaurant in Atlanta.
Oh, lucky
none.
For you.
Zero.
And by the way, you've lucked out. The All Elite Feast apparently is now sold out.
Hot damn. Let's go. I mean, that's good for them that, like...
That's good. Sold out in a couple
sold
days.
Out.
So, congrats.
But, aw, damn. There's no White Castle here. There's Crystal. And that's the thing. We have Crystal here. We don't have White Castle. But I've had White Castle before. And like I said, I don't hate myself enough to do that. Because I don't hate myself enough to do Crystal. So.
Well, she lives for another day. I mean, if she had the food. If she had the food. Anyway. Moving on.
I'm not gonna lie, the cheddar bacon sliders actually sound pretty decent for White Castle. Like, cheddar bacon anything is gonna be good.
Uh-huh.
Because it's cheddar and it's bacon. Like, that fixes a multitude of sins. But again, I don't hate myself enough to do that. Anyway, moving on, Austin or Ace Austin has joined AEW.
Yeah, former TNA stars joined AEW. So, congrats.
Good for him.
Indeed.
So, I hope things go swimmingly for him. And with that, I say we take a break for the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about WWE and Chris Jericho. Specifically, does WWE need Chris Jericho? We're going to be talking all about the rumors that are a-swirling. And so much more. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
I'll never see any side of heaven.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there,
leave us a review, and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code RockSock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the other way, follow channel, hang out, chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are here to speculate and ruminate because there is a rumor going around the interwebs that one Chris Jericho might, and mind you, this is all speculation, like I said, might be leaving AEW and he might be going back to WWE. There's been no confirmation of this whatsoever, but the rumors kind of started in the fact that, well, Chris Jericho's contract is in theory up at the end of this year, I believe, and there's some question of whether some time is going to get tacked on for him because he went off on his little Fosse tour and we haven't seen him for a while. Or if they're just going to let his contract expire, or if he's going to renew and possibly stay with AEW for an extended duration. And that begs the question for our discussion. In the year of our Lord 2025, does WWE still need or need Chris Jericho?
What is your answer?
My answer is no. Chris Jericho is personally taking the person out of it, taking Chris Irvin out of the character, because I don't necessarily agree with him on a lot of stuff. Chris Jericho is a very talented individual. And at this stage in his career, I feel like where he's at is he's a nice to have. He's a great to have as like a feature. Like you have him come in, you do something and you have him leave, or you have him stick around for a short while and then he leaves. But in terms of a full-time talent, I think we have all seen that perhaps those days are coming to an end just based on his previous performance in AEW before he left on tour. Now things could change. He could have worked on himself. He could have improved. He could come back and like prove us all wrong. But based on previous examples that we have earlier this year, that's not the case. And my issue is that if he were to come back to WWE, they don't need him as a feature because they have plenty of those. You have plenty of people that show up for a short while, do their thing, and leave. Right? We're seeing it with John Cena. We're seeing it with Logan Paul. We're seeing it with, you know, other people in the company and in the promotion. So you don't really need him to do that. And in terms of a full-time talent, based on what I have seen from earlier this year, I don't really know if it would be a good idea to do that, just because I feel like it would be a more detriment to him than it would anything else. But what about you?
All right. So we're going to phrase this a few different ways. Does Chris Jericho deserve one last WWE run? Yes. Does Chris Jericho deserve to get one last WrestleMania match? Yes. He deserves all those things because he's Chris Jericho. But WWE does not need him. He's not going to add to the demo. He's not going to add a fan base. The audience will not grow by re-signing Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho was probably never a Triple H guy. He was a Vince McMahon guy. They've always had their issues. But again, that was talent Jericho and talent Triple H. Just like talent Punk and talent Triple H didn't get along. But Triple H now and CM Punk get along pretty well. Punk and Jericho. That's you have two different nights. You don't need that. That really doesn't concern anyone at any point if they get along or they don't. Chris Jericho's last year in AEW hasn't been great. He's had go away heat, whether it's been based on comments he's made or just because the act has become stale. He's tried to reinvent himself. It's what he tries to do. He put himself under a learning tree and made that a thing. And everybody he touches really doesn't grow. And when they're out of the feud with him, they're rarely on television after. And then when you look at the WWE roster and you go, huh, is there anyone on the current roster that you want to see Chris Jericho fight? It's a hard question because the answer is really no. And that's a twofold answer. One, because he's worked with a lot of guys. And two, that means WWE hasn't built enough new male talent to make it seem like an intriguing match. Have they risen talent like Gunther? Yes. Because he's pretty much the only one guy that's in the top that wasn't really a guy Chris Jericho was ever not faced. He's done things with Drew in the past. He's done with Cody. He's done the Cody thing. He's messed around with Rollins before. Like he's fought these people 10 years ago. So him coming back, you go, huh, I don't see anyone that I'm excited to see him face. Would it be interesting if his contract came up and he could do one appearance with John Cena for old time's sake? That would be fun because of their history. But I don't want to see that match if he had the time, if they could fit it in. That would be a terrible match because the problem is Jericho's body is giving out. He doesn't lift anymore. He just does, you know, other types of cardio and stuff. And he's the lightest he's ever been. But he's 55. Let that sink in. Chris Jericho's 55. So you really can't expect him to be a full-time wrestler anymore. So they ultimately don't need him. Could they give him a match or two? Just like they gave Goldberg a match? Yeah. But beyond that, there really isn't value for a Chris Jericho return.
I think the value lies more in like a Hall of Fame return than an active wrestler return. Like I will echo your point. Like him coming back and doing a match or two, that's fine. I have no issue with that. It's not the first thing I want to see, but ultimately if that's what they decided to do, okay, fine, I'll endure it and I'll move on, just like I did with Goldberg. So if the point is you bring him in for his Hall of Fame run, you give him like a small little feud where he builds up to that and then he retires and then he goes into the Hall of Fame. That's totally cool. Or he goes into the Hall of Fame. That's totally fine. Like there's no issue with that. I think where his value really would lie for them outside of the Hall of Fame, and this would be if he's willing to do it, and I don't know if he would be, is to go down to NXT and be a trainer down there or be a mentor down there for young talent coming up. Because in terms of reinventing yourself, in terms of promo work, Chris Jericho is phenomenally talented at that. And his longevity proves that time and time again. Like you said, he's 55.
Yeah.
He's been wrestling for over, I think, almost 30 years.
Yeah, 1990, I think. It's 25 years. I'd stick him on LFG. 1990, yeah.
No, that's not 25 years. That's like 35 years.
That's 35 then, yeah. 35 then. Stick him on LFG. Be a coach, trainer, character. Yeah. Him, Taker, Pulley Ray, Michelle. There's your...
That would be Max.
But no, you can put him in the Hall of Fame. You can give him a Hall of Fame run. You can give him a match at WrestleMania. But you don't want to give him a match on every PLE because he can't work them. Mainly because WWE has 5 matches on a PLE and they like can't afford to give him a spot. But again, this boils down to the bigger question. There's no one on the roster for him to fight. And WWE needs to kind of fix that.
But I don't know if that's a them problem or I don't know if that's a him problem. Because again,
Not take Jericho out of the equation. WWE needs to work on elevating newer male talent.
I don't disagree with that at all. And I think that, as we can tell, that's a process. And that's not a fast process. That is becoming a multi-year sort of thing where they are very carefully identifying talent while also watching to see who gets over naturally. They're not necessarily doing what they did before, where it's like, okay, we're going to pick the guy. The best example I have of it is Sheamus, where they decided back yonder that Sheamus was going to be the guy. And they tried to shove Sheamus down our throats. And don't get me wrong, I love Sheamus. I think he's entertaining as hell. But, like, they tried super hard to shove Sheamus down our throats, and pretty much everybody pushed back on it. Because nobody really wanted it. Because you had other people that were getting over more, and WWE was ignoring them. Now, as we see, they are still looking at those people and identifying those people as, okay, this could be our person, but also it's in the case of like Jey Uso. Jey Uso got over and they ran with it, right? So I think they're looking for those talents to build and deciding if it's going to be a short term or a long term, where they can sort of build somebody into that franchise player, as it were. Yeah, and I think that's what's going on right now. But the difficulty in that is that when you're building people like that, and I've seen this kind of floating around the internet, and I don't want to like segue away from Jericho, but at the same time, I kind of want to talk about this as well, where a lot of people complain that like WWE's top talent, right, they're in their 30s and 40s. It is exceptionally rare in the wrestling industry to get to be on that big stage, on that main stage, when you're in your 20s. Rhea Ripley is there.
I'm going to correct that. No, you'll continue that point. WWE male talent.
Male talent, yes. Male talent. Like, you see it, especially for the females, like in the case of Rhea, she's in her 20s and she's transcending pop culture, but that is an exception to the rule, generally. Even for the women, like, the women don't generally get as big as Rhea has got, because they've never, like, Charlotte was kind of the first that took it there, and that was with a lot of, like, help from WWE. Rhea feels very much more organic. Even though the machine has been behind her this whole time, Rhea's growth has been absolutely fan-pushed. And it's continued to be fan pushed. For the men, it takes them a little bit longer. And we've seen it time and time again. Like I said, they try to strap the rocket on somebody and either they're not ready or they don't get over, whatever happens. It's very rare that they actually like decide this is going to be our person and they get over. Because I have to think about John Cena. When John Cena in 2003, how old he was when he started that climb. I want to say he was in his like late 20s, really early 30s.
How old is John Cena when now?
He's in his 40s, isn't he?
John Cena's 49, I believe.
John Cena age live. He's 48.
He's 48.
He was born in 1977. So
subtract 22 years.
You're gonna make me math live on air. So he was 26 when he started the climb in 2003.
Same with Randy. Randy was 22, 23. They pushed
Cena,
them.
Sorry, go ahead.
They pushed them young. Brock Lesnar, they pushed them young because they had because the older generation was getting injured and too expensive.
But I want to say they didn't hit their strides, at least for Randy and Cena, until they were in their 30s.
I would disagree with Cena. Cena hit his stride 2 years after that. He was 28. 2005, Cena took off.
But yeah. He's not like early, early 20s.
But he's not in 30s either.
He's closer to 30 than he is 20.
Yeah, but he was still not mid-30s where a lot of the talent are these days. He was getting his rise in the 20s.
Randy was a bit more of a late bloomer.
Again, they hit together.
No, because Randy...
They hit together.
Yeah, but Randy kind of had a little bit of an up and down. Randy needed a little bit more help from what I remember, because Randy was kind of fucked up in the early 2000s.
But he still was pushed heavily.
Yeah.
With all
But I feel like for like the natural Randy development, that hit a little bit later. Like once he did the Legend Killer, that's when he kind of started to take off.
And that was 07, 08. Not really that long after. It all blends.
How old is Randy? It all blends. Randy Orton is younger than Cena. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought he was like the same age, which it's close enough. But the point is that they are taking, it feels like, especially from where they are pulling talent from, which is they're half homegrowing it and then they're half bringing talent in from outside and pushing that talent, is that that's pushing the age range up a little bit because that talent has taken longer to develop. That's the point I was trying to get to. Because like for Cody, they had Cody and he left and then he came back and he's in his 30s. But his mid to late 30s. So, I mean, it could be that, and I don't know what the age range is in NXT, but it's like, I think you have a varying ages. And so it's like between mid 20s to mid 30s, it feels like maybe they're taking their time and maybe trying to push the older talent that's perhaps I don't want to insult anybody, but maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit more mature, maybe a little bit more ready for that main stage, because that was also a problem for a long time. Is you would take somebody that was like super young, super inexperienced, and you put them out there in this main stage, and sometimes they just couldn't deal with it. They just couldn't handle it because they didn't have the emotional maturity to deal with it and handle it.
Yeah,
and that could be why they're trending older as well.
That also plays a factor. But bring it all back around.
Yes, bring it back to Jericho.
There's no one for Jericho. There's no. Do you really want to see Bron Breakker versus Chris Jericho?
No. I think the only one that's really half intriguing would be Gunther and Jericho, just because I've never seen it.
No,
I don't know if they.
They've never fought. But
so that would be.
No. It's gonna be Pat McAfee would have the better match with Gunther than Jericho would.
Honestly, McAfee versus Jericho would not be awful.
No, I mean, no.
The promo work would be good.
Yeah, but once the bell rings.
Well, that's okay. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. The only reason I wouldn't want to see Jericho versus Gunther is because it would be a promo heavy sort of feud. And as we saw with Punk, promo work isn't Gunther's strong suit. And so they would have to have a lot of smoke and mirrors. But I feel like if you're going to put Jericho in the ring in general, and this is based on, like I said, his last appearance that I saw, he could have completely changed in the time that he's been away. And if he has, good for him. But in earlier this year, he would need that smoke and mirrors anyway. Very similar to Cena in the sense that he just can't necessarily go like he used to. And so you'd have to do a lot of cover up anyway. And if you put him in the ring with McAfee, that's sort of to be expected. And you could literally just have them out there for like 5 minutes. They hit their big new move, somebody hits a finisher, bing bam, Bob's your uncle, and it's over, right? I don't know if Jericho would go for that or not. I feel like he would want to do like a longer match, but McAfee versus Jericho would be a possibility.
No, that's an awful possibility.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it's there.
See, I was never taught
that.
It's
totally there.
It's I was just saying McAfee versus Gunther would end up being better than Jericho versus Gunther. Hell, I think Goldberg.
And I don't disagree with that.
I think even Goldberg versus Gunther would go down better than Jericho and Gunther at this stage.
But I would want a younger Goldberg versus Gunther. Even though we had it.
Younger, yes. Everything younger is better.
Yes, but not right now.
But yeah, at the end of the day,
I think
WWE doesn't need him.
I guess, and like we said, if he wants to come back and he wants to do the Hall of Fame, or he wants to do the Rumble, or he wants to do like a thing at WrestleMania, that's totally cool. No problem with that. If he wants to go down and work with the developing talent in NXT or LFG, I think that would be a great use for him because he is a personality and he does have name value and they could use that. I think at this stage, especially in terms of where the main roster is, because the other thing we kind of didn't touch on is they would have to make room for him on the main roster to come in and have that feud. And those spots, especially at the top, are really difficult to get right now.
Yep.
They're very coveted. They're very protected because you have a very, very, very strong main card in terms of who's there. And so to kind of insert Jericho into that situation, I don't feel like that would be good for anybody involved. I think he does have name value. He does have uses, plenty of them. But I just don't think being in the main event is one of them.
Agreed.
But he could also just stay with AEW. Like he seems happy there.
Yeah. But you've done everything. There's nothing more you can do.
Tony needs to build in more top stars.
It's not even, he just can't work. That's the problem. You got the 6-year run out of Jericho. He was very instrumental early on to help the company. Mm-hmm. For the first year or two, he was the guy. He did his job. He got them off the ground.
I just wonder if there's value in Jericho for AEW much in the same vein as like a personality, either on commentary or backstage as like a mentor, or do they just not like him anymore?
He just, you've squeezed the lemon all the way.
It's out of juice.
It's out of juice. There's nothing. He's done everything. He's had the main event run. He's had a tag team run. He's tried to elevate all these different people, and they really haven't elevated past where they should be. Daniel Garcia is still not a regular. Daniel Garcia gets pushed and then disappears forever. He's not taking whatever push to Jericho gave him. The hook rub didn't do anything. Hook is just now returning. Big Bill and whoever were the part of the learning tree. They wrestle occasionally on Collision in tag team matches, and Jericho is supposed to run a feud with Big Bill, and Jericho hasn't been on TV in 4 months. Orange Cassidy got a rub out of Jericho, and then was still in the same position he was before the Jericho feud. You've run out of the Jericho in AEW value. It doesn't exist. You've peaked, and the audience was telling you that for the last 6-8 months of his run.
Yeah.
So
I think the smartest thing they did do, or he did do, was to go on tour and kind of just go away.
But but he didn't go on tour though. He had time to do it if he needed to. His Wednesdays were open, even
but
if he took
didn't come back.
Exactly. There's a lot of talent who just sit there and do nothing, even though they have plenty of time. Room for them when creative doesn't have anything for you. Where we're at, creative is run dry with Jericho in AEW. So I think that pretty much sums it up.
Pretty much, yeah.
So we done.
You got stuff to plug, huh?
So we done.
We done. You got stuff to plug. Plug away.
Chat. Good news. There is a CB Radio this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. There is no intern. But, because he's working.
He's always working.
He's working on an event. But the good news, the show is fully put together. We have the not-so-interns corner. We have blind rankings. We have news items. It's all put together. I formatted the show already. Ahead of schedule. So tune in for CP Radio Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. What I don't have is confirm whether all the two hosts are going to be there on time. But at least we have a formatted show. But Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Tim and Brand as they preview Clash in Paris. As a reminder, there is no Raw Post Show because They're overseas. But we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk about Clash in Paris. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts. So search the Rack Radio Show. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews. What was the name of the book you reviewed?
Holly Jolly Kitty Corn.
Available this September. But you can check out Lindsay's review right now. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search the Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store. Whether you do Honkai Star Rail, Genshin Impact, Fortnite Battle Royale, the Ultimate Battle Royale experience, when you want Power Rangers, even Madden NFL 26, which you can check out the review as well wherever you get your podcasts. Because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLinzWard. And you can follow me on TikTok at LinzWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can check out Matt's channel, youtube.com/NBG1211. That's NBG Films. There we go. There's a plug. Did it reverse this time. The go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi because he is awesome and he does amazing work. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye. Come on.
WildTalkRadio.com.